going to discuss with Kapi really is to look at the security. Any of the candidates that we have is going to be the next commander-in-chief. And therefore, I just felt the need, which we really can't do in an hour, but at least to set the ball rolling, that as we're talking about the economy, as we're talking about other issues, economic issues, and so on and so forth, and as we're talking about security with a flash of the pan, oh, I will ensure that that the whatever decimated, you know, politicians talking off the whatever, there is a need. And let me repeat what I've always said. Kapi, I've always said that I am not interested in any politician's manifesto because it doesn't mean jack to me. Reason being, 99% of, I think only Awolowo is the person that I can credit, definitely, for having sat down to write a manifesto. He probably had a few people assisting him with things. But I think that Obafemi Awolowo is the only one, and unfortunately he is no more, he's the only one I can most likely say that at the very least he had the manifesto that he understood to the T. And of course, you don't need to go far. His pronouncements, even his books later and so on and so forth, you don't need to go that far. You will know that the man knew his onions. And therefore, for me, knowing, you know, this as a background, that it's you know, it's not enough for somebody to say off the cuff. I believe we should be concentrating more on action plans. What are you going to do in your first 2 years? I don't want to get boiled down by isms and agendas and this and that. Nigeria is so comatose that it first of all needs an action plan to get up before it decides whether it wants to go to WWE or it wants to go and wrestle in Yugoslavia. If that country still exists, I don't think so. Hey, forgive me, this is my old papa here, so these old things will come out once in a while. So I now decided that, look, let me at least for the first like 40 minutes in the first instance engage Blade, Captain Blade, in us looking at the critical issues that border on security that the next commander-in-chief is going to present. Part of it might also go into, we might also have to delve into into what do I call the minimum requirements that will be needed for that job of commander-in-chief. We keep talking about president. We forget that the job is split into two. There is president and there is commander-in-chief. Even when we had a vice president who said that he will handle defense, he hasn't read the constitution very well. You can handle defense all you like, but the buck stops on number one's table. So, Kapi, how are you?
I'm fine, sir.
So far, do you get a sense that our candidates know their onions when it comes to security? And I'll tell you why I said so. One of the reasons why I was a supporter of Buhari in the past, I'm no longer a supporter of him, he formed my hand. This is why I was a supporter of Buhari in the past is, I thought he would be coming with good military background, which would help us in the area of defense. And I then thought that his vice president was capable of doing all the paperwork, economy, and so on and so forth, but that he would hold the defense tight. You know, rather the opposite. I think you know where we are now. There's no need to flog a dead horse. Yeah, so indeed. Do you get a sense? Let's start from there. That the presidential candidates that you can see in the horizon actually know their onions, or what should be the minimum we should be looking at for them for us to say this man can be a commander-in-chief?
Yes, indeed. You see, the presidential candidates as we have them,
yes,
each has his merits and each has demerits.
Yes.
So if I were to describe the mood we are in now, I'll say it's like if Nigeria were an aircraft.
Yes.
And we were flying into the future.
Yes.
Destination May 29th, 2023.
Yes.
we could say with 10 days to go now for campaigns, I think the cabin crew should be preparing us for landing.
Wow, and that's a turbulence. That's
exactly. Turbulence. Yes, yes, we should be preparing for landing. So just imagine that aircraft was made of eggshells.
Hmm.
Even if we landed on foam,
yes,
we will need prayers. Because right now, our presidential aspirants seem to be weighing more on, let me just win.
Yes.
But don't forget, we say commander-in-chief of the armed forces. And then the second feather on his hat is president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. The way it is, if you went into the armed forces and you took a critical look at what I call the star officers, the star officers are from brigadier generals.
Rednecks.
A colonel is a redneck.
A colonel is a redneck, okay.
So star officers are from brigadier generals upward. One-star general, two-star general, three-star like that. We have quite a backlog of star officers.
Wow.
Yes, we do. We do. I am of the regular 40, and I can tell you like six courses behind me. Regular 46 are brigadier generals, one-star generals right now.
Wow.
So when you see these officers I'm talking about, they are very active, very erudite minds. So my commander-in-chiefs will most likely be working with officers who are generationally poles, heads, shoulders, what do you mean, apart. So that concern is there. So as they work, I believe that it's not going to just be about, let me win the election. It's not going to be about, you know what, so person, you are from my place, recommend a service chief for me. No, it's going to be much more than that, because even if someone comes highly recommended, you don't forget that he's going to work again with middle grade and what? Junior officers, who also will be working with what you call NCOs, non-commissioned officers. And these non-commissioned officers and middle level and junior officers, you draw from that almost overwhelming population of Nigerians we call millennials.
Wow.
So you can see who my commander-in-chief, whoever is going to come out, will be sitting down to work with. So they must have to take that into cognizance. It's not just about bringing in people who are closer to you generationally to advise you. If you go that way, you actually are going to get there, but you may not connect. And if you don't connect in this our generation that is youth-driven, aggressively, unapologetically youth-driven, then you're going to have issues. And don't forget, our threats, those ones that are hell-bent on making sure this country doesn't leave, they are also waiting to throw a reception party
for the commander-in-chief,
for whoever emerges. The threats are still there. They're
so,
not going anywhere.
Okay, so that I don't lose track, are you worried about the ages of most of the candidates? Most of the generals now are millennials.
Yes. I mean, you to see some senior military officers out there. The only thing that will convince you is the badges he's carrying. And you'll be wondering, when did he do all of this?
All of this.
But don't have no doubts about it. He's just as good as his badges tell you. And when he's coming to work with you, he's going to be coming, you know, it's like trying to hold. You see, when you leash a very well-fed, strong dog, you have to be strong to hold him. You understand? So you're going to have some go-getters. And if you do not have that vibe, it can be very deliberate.
As a
commander-in-chief. Yeah.
So with the issue of age, we might have a problem.
Yes, we do have a problem. Because what I see, sincerely speaking, right now, is there is an outgone generation that is actually in its last desperate bid for relevance. And there is an newborn generation that is not relenting in saying, you know what, it's our time.
If you
there's that underlying, there's that underlying thing. Just take a critical look and you will see it. It's all there.
If you look at history, even though, as it were, we'll be saying that, okay, that was military government and not civilian, but I still believe that in any dispensation, in any country, the military do have a lot to say. Do you think that if the military are not disposed to a particular candidate, maybe in terms of competence and whatever, they would be able to voice it out, or rather use it to their advantage and turn him into a puppet?
It all depends on the situation within that country. If a country was at peace, the military have no say.
No say, yeah.
We just engage them by exposing them to causes and causes and causes. But if the country was not at peace and there were national security issues, then you really need, you know, you really need the, how do I put it now, of the military. If you don't have it, then you're actually standing on one leg.
How does the background of a person affect his disposition towards this job, from your experience? I give you an example. Some people, for example, are relatively tolerant of crime. We've had a president like that before who was tolerant of corruption, for example. He's been quoted as having said once in a while, okay, we haven't paid you, go and settle, you know, things like that. If we do have a commander-in-chief who has a tolerance or a background that reflects a tolerance for things that might disrupt security, how do we handle that?
That, again, is a very sore spot for choosing leaders.
Yes.
And let me assure you that security-wise, all the security agencies, as many of them as we have, don't follow their leaders unto death because there is one magic. It's just because they believe in you. So the cleaner you come, the higher the percentage of followership. I recall the late general... The one-time Secretary of State for the United States Army, Colin Powell put it very plainly and straightforward. He said, the reason why your men follow you, it's not because you are wearing a general's rank badge or something. It's because they just believe in you. And they'll follow you on to death. It does not change with the commander-in-chief and his troops. You should not have antecedents that will disinspire your troops. You must have antecedents that will inspire them. And the closer you are to being an exemplar, the more the chances that a majority of your troops will...
Well, unfortunately, we have a situation here, Kapi, where... Partly because of the social media and awareness, the majority might not even be looking at such things. And rather, we are always looking at, okay, it's from my tribe, it's from my religion, it's from my this, from that. And then we now end up finding ourselves in crisis. What manner of awareness can we, well, we've started it now, I hope it sinks. That our people would realize that, look, hey, listen, it's more than for a president just to be popular. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, he has to... To be fair to Buhari, one of the things that held him in good stead, which he blew away anyway, was what was considered his exemplary behavior and his exemplary past.
No nonsense.
Yes, no nonsense. And unfortunately, he just blew all the gains away, but that's history will take care of that. I'm just worried that, you know, we need to raise the ante and sensitize our people to the responsibility of this job. Okay, so let me ask you a direct question. A bad commander-in-chief means what?
A bad commander-in-chief means he has bad handlers. He has handlers who cannot look him in the face and say, Commander-in-Chief, you need to come back a step or two. A president can only be as good as his cabinet. I think I've said this like the umpteenth time.
Mm.
And for Nigerians, I want us to understand something. You see, it's not about your brother. It's not about his religion. It's not about the party. It's about who can deliver. Mm. Because I told you, Nigeria right now is like we are in a circle. We're in a cycle. And there are hyenas all around the circle. They're just, each one is snapping.
And they are hungry.
And they are hungry. And they don't know party. They don't know religion. At least this last 8 years, we've seen it.
Mm.
Once upon a time, we thought we were having a religious issue. It is not about religion. They don't care religion. They don't see party. They don't see region. Wherever they see humans, Nigerians, old, young, male, female, you name it, they just pounce and take what they will. So it's now time for us to begin to look out for that. Is it, how do they say it? Is it the Moses? Is it the Moses that doesn't know Pharaoh? Is it the Moses that...
But the Pharaoh that doesn't know Moses.
Exactly. We have to look for that one.
I don't know which one it is.
Exactly. We have to look for that one because if you remember the story of that little baby who was born in the manger, in the palace, but he grew up to poke the eye of the feared Pharaoh.
Pharaoh, yes.
Exactly. That is the kind of leader we have to look for. That is not going to look at anybody, but if you just look like anything that is not going to or go well with this country, we just do away with such a thing. Mm. It's going to be, you know, when President Muhammadu Buhari came into office, I saw, and my expectations were, we were going to be seeing a benevolent dictator.
Yes.
By a benevolent dictator, I mean a no-nonsense person.
Person.
But then...
I wonder, well, it's about 9:22 now, we have to go on break, and my people call it engine, but it's the whatever it is, it can pop up on us, and I don't want it to catch you mid-sentence. But when we come back, of course, we'll open up our lines, 0700-993-993-993. We're on Twitter, but please tag me along. Tag me along. By the way, let me quickly make an announcement. There's a post on my blog about four paragraphs, jimmydisu.com. An extract I got from Pau Kunaya, drawing a parallel between what happened to MKO and what's happening to the APC candidate. So if you have the time, go to the blog and pick it up. All of you know Pau Kunaya, the astrologer. I don't know whether I should bring him soon or I should bring him as quickly as possible.
I once listened to him on this
program. You once listened to him on this program. When we were speaking off air,
yes,
we drew the parallels.
Yes, he was talking.
So I was shocked that this man was getting right.
Yes, the lines are falling.
The lines are falling right.
Actually mentioned the will.
Yes, yeah. Let me see if I can bring him. No, I'm bringing. By the way, I'm bringing Old Soldier on Saturday. When we come back, I'll explain to you what the Old Soldier is all about.
All right.
We'll take a short break. Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, Nigeria Info 99.3. Our ratings are going up by the day. I see you on the other end. And we're looking... This is first of a series of discussions we'll be having because, like I said, we can't finish it all at a go. We'll be taking calls at some point, 0700-993-993-993. And therefore, ladies only, 01465-7190. Now, we found out sometime last week about once or twice people have... some men have called this number and gotten away with it. We plead that let's all respect, you know, the rules that we set down. This number is made exclusively for the ladies, and there are reasons for it being so. And therefore, I wouldn't like to, you know, have to put down the hammer on anybody who flouts this simple directive. Kapi, my fear is, you see, it's not about winning the election for me. The issue before us here, for me, is beyond the election. Sometimes I sit back and I try and work out scenarios. You know, if this man wins, what is likely to happen? If that one wins, what is likely to happen? If any of the candidates wins, any of them, do you think that there'll be any security threats to contain? Or if any of them doesn't win, do you think that that in itself could be some kind of security threat? Even though elections are won by the majority, there's no doubt about that. But even at that, I don't know what democracy is these days. Before, especially before the social media, it used to be about those who know, and they are the ones who also voted. But now that everybody has become an analyst and this and that, where most people don't, you know, they don't understand the real issues. It's about what I forgot. There's this word that's gone from my head now. Referendum. Referendums now have been seen to be the worst way to go on issues, because a lot of people vote on emotions. If you had a referendum now, say, on should these people leave Nigeria, they all think that, okay, so if we pack ourselves in the bus and drive out of Nigeria, we are going into an El Dorado, not knowing that sometimes we are going into a deeper hole. But let's leave that out. But are there any security challenges around that, the election time, that we need to prepare ourselves for?
The only challenge I see is going to come from the populace, us Nigerians. And I want to appeal to the parties, all the parties.
Yes.
They must sensitize their followers so that they are able to manage victory. We don't manage.
Or loss.
Yes, or loss. Yeah, I'm not even concerned about those who will lose. I'm concerned about those who will win. We don't manage victory well. You see, the way things are right now, the way the dynamics are right now, immediately any party at all wins, it's not to start grandstanding. The others will just gang up and eat you up. And definitely is that ignoramus on the street who will end up in the mortuary. What the winning party, whoever wins, should be doing will be to reach out and make the others understand that, listen, we need to gang up one and all and take our country back from, as I said, those security threats that are not interested in politics or religion or whatever. And I am confident that the armed forces will stand firm and give you that necessary environment that will enable one to reach out to the other. And if they choose to make it a free-for-all fight again, I am confident the armed forces will also stand firm and make sure that regardless whether you won or lost, they stop you.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because recent events in Africa have gotten us worried. You know, Burkina Faso and which other one, 2, 3. Is there any... Now, this is just a hypothetical question. Nobody should spin it around to say I'm inciting or calling on anybody, but just to ask a hypothetical question that, from your own threat analysis, is it possible that anything like that could happen there?
I don't see it in the near... in the immediate and near future. But I want to place a solid reason to ask, especially you believing that because democracy is here, XYZ cannot happen. Do not provoke the unexpected, because I tell you something, the soldiers we put to work don't do it with extra lives in their pockets. And if you know how much it takes to train one, then you will understand that you need to actually act responsibly as leaders, not to go poop all over the floor and then call the sons of a lesser god who are soldiers to come and clean up. They're human, they run on blood too, and they have emotions, regardless of their training. That's what I mean by do not provoke the unexpected. Act responsibly as politicians and stop lighting small, small pockets of fire all over the place. Then when it becomes a bonfire, you now turn and say, where are the soldiers? Oh, yeah, go and chest the bullets. No, it's not done that way.
Thankfully, it's been quite a while since we had that kind of intervention, and hopefully a lot of the, you know, the promoters and people of those thinking would have found their way out either through retirement or through. One of the things that Obasanjo did when he first came to power was to retire some generals. You said about, you know, quite a large generation of generals, one star, two star, and so on and so forth. And thank you for correcting me about rednecks. So next time I see a colonel, I won't think he's a redneck.
He's a redneck, but he's not a general.
I'm wondering, would that be one of the things that the new commander-in-chief would have to face?
It could be, because I'll tell you something. The armed forces is, you know, it's like a pyramid. Normally, it's the higher you go, the fewer there should be.
There should be.
So
I hope the pyramid, I hope it hasn't been put upside down now.
Well, right now, if you look at it, we could use one excuse and say our security threats, you know, as they kind of, you know, multiplied, required a lot of formations to be formed and you needed a lot of generals to lead them. But don't forget that there is what you call time, the years you spend in service. And once you have completed that number of years or you've reached a certain age, you have to go. So we have to juxtapose, it's a balancing act, and there are quite a number. As I told you, there's like from regular, I think 38, some there is 37, up and up to 46.
Wow. For our listeners, one number means 1 year. That's what it is.
One number
one
means
course is 1 year. Good. You know,
just if you were in secondary school, just imagine we say
from DS1
class of 1937, now up and up to class of 1946. So it's almost 10 sets now.
If we were going to recruit, let's assume that there was this process, we're just playing games now, that there's a process by which you want to recruit a commander-in-chief by interview and whatever. Apart from his perceived knowledge, the background of the person, to what extent would you be looking at the background of this person to say that, look, 10 years ago you did this, probably has molded your character, you fit the job, you don't fit the job. To what percentage of that person's presentation would his background be?
It is key. I'll tell you why. Because when you opt for public office, it's like standing in the middle of a glass room. People can see you from everywhere. Your children, everybody becomes object of public scrutiny.
The reason why I'm saying so...
I say so because if there is anything your competition will leverage on, they'll hold on to it the way dead men hold.
Well, I'm not even looking at it from winning the election. More in a functional role.
That's what I'm saying.
Because some of our candidates, to be honest with you, carry some baggage.
They do.
That is worrying. And I'm wondering how that would affect their performance as commander-in-chief.
Well, you know, I see there is nothing as demoralizing as having to sit, say, within the International Committee of States. And there are concerns about one, two, or three things that happened that you were involved in 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, 20, whatever years ago. I remembered, you see, nothing neutralizes it like coming out to say, you know what? Out of youthful exuberance.
I did that.
Yeah, we jumped walls when I was in school. You've taken the sting out of it.
Yes.
I remember one American president owned up to taking...
he said the smugglers.
Taffing when he was... when he was...
He just said, you know the local name, not Taffy?
Don't
be Taffy.
It's Taffy, not Taffy.
Is that what they call it in the academy?
No. Actually, I once had a young man who just stepped out of his vehicle and walked into oblivion. He's still running mad then, Lekki.
Oh, lots of them. In fact, if you see on the social media, One of these days, I'll take you up on that.
I thought I had somebody say staffing.
No, it's staffing. Okay. In Sierra Leone, a soldier who had gotten high, you know, there's this new drug. Dokwadejeji, by the way, is coming on Thursday. Dokwadejeji is a strong advocate for eradication of drugs, and he works directly with them. Brigadier Marwa, he's coming on Thursday.
Okay.
To be here. And a soldier with a gun. What we call he don't correct. You know, he was also going like that with a gun. He was dismissed on the spot.
You know,
so you believe that these backgrounds?
Yes. You see,
do we do security check backgrounds on our potential leaders?
Honestly, I wouldn't know. I can't
speak. That's strange, isn't it?
Yes, because let me tell you something. I once advocated something similar. But you know how it is. Ideas come and go. But there's supposed to be what you call, for anyone who takes office, supposed to go through some rigorous, very rigorous security induction, both at the national security level and... I don't know whether it's being done.
You can see what former President Trump in the U.S.
Yes.
has made out of their security, taking files. Wow, 9:50. I need to take a call. Please quickly. Good morning. We're running out of time. I need to take this call very quickly. Hello, morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Just go straight to the point, please. We know who you are.
Yeah, this is Pastor Ladi for calling from Orilego.
Just go straight to the point. We don't have time, please.
Okay, my take this morning. I think from what our captain has said, I've drawn out a very vital point this morning. And that vital point is this. The politicians should not always, they should learn to manage victory so that they can carry others along, so that we can maximize that victory to curb insecurity.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless
Nigeria. Let's take the next call. Hello, good morning. Hello. Morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Quickly.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, quickly.
Yeah, I'm happy with you this morning. Like I said, those still they are showing Buhari love. They don't know they are misleading him. Like Kati said, you can't look at the president in the eyes and tell him, sir, this area you are going is wrong. Today now he's telling on everybody. It's a big lesson. Thank you.
All right. I'll take my last caller for today. Hello, morning. Okay. Hello, good morning. Okay, Kapi. So we might have to assemble again and get down to specifics. So you say for sure now that we don't do background security checks on the candidates even before the contest. Can you confirm that?
I want to say yes. But as I told you, you see, one thing about our political system here is its loyalty to the individual.
Yes.
And not to the constitutional.
Hmm.
You know, it's I must say this, and I stand to be corrected though, that it may be tantamount to committing career suicide for you to see someone who has a hand in every pie and think you can just pull one file out and say because of this he should not be allowed to feature politically. And you know, it's a mishmash of a lot of dynamics and intrigues.
But it's devastating to me.
Yes, and very costly.
Very costly. The what you are putting in the hands of whoever is the president, commander in chief. Oh my God.
Yes.
That's why I subscribe to the NMA that says that there should be, you know, thorough physical and mental.
You need it, but
we don't do it.
You see,
it's amazing.
Medically, especially medically, it's key because
it's
it can become a very costly venture.
Medically, and then if in somebody's background he has a tolerance for, I envy somebody like Brigadier Mara. He'd be holding his breath, not knowing who his next commander in chief would be.
Exactly.
He might lose his job in the twinkling of an eye.
Indeed. Even holding that position.
Yes.
If you know, it's if you watch Tom and Jerry.
of course, I
love it.
I'm a Tom and Jerry freak.
If you know what Jerry's imaginations for Tom are,
yes.
Tom will pass out.
That's the same thing. If General Marwan knows what these drug barons are hooking up in their heads for him psychologically. So if he was not medically and emotionally fit,
yes.
I'm telling you that thing.
Okay, we'll leave that till Thursday. Thursday, Dr. Dokwan Dedeji, aka Doxy, you know him. And we are going to talk about the new phenomenon on drugs. There's this new drug that has surfaced that the NDLEA.
Yes, that is 100 times more deadlier than Tramadol. Exactly.
So that's what we'll be talking about.
I read that up somewhere. It's a very terrible thing.
Terrible thing. Capi, thank you very much, as usual.
You're most welcome.
I'm so sorry for dragging you out through the traffic on a day like this, but
it's okay.
It's all in the service of the nation.
Yes, sir.
That's why we'll end it for today. Tomorrow, Blackie is back on Dear Bumi. And on Thursday, we have Dr. Dokwan Dedeji, Doxy. He'll be here to talk about the latest phenomenon in the drug, whatever. Please go to my blog, jimmydisu.com. I extracted a 3-paragraph statement for Pao Kunaya, who I will try to convince to see if I can get him in here by the weekend. Until then, enjoy yourselves. What's Up Lagos comes up next, and just sit back. Don't touch that dial. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow. Bye.